Well, I'm so thrilled to be here. Praise God. What an honor to, you know, for your pastor to allow me to stand up here.
Quickly, Children's Church. Big round of applause, ring the bell, and send them back.
Yeah. Well, those children are going out. Let's stand to our feet and hold our hands out toward them and bless them. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord God, for these children. We just speak blessings over them. We just speak that they're the head and not the tail, that they're above only and not beneath. They'll be above in their grades, in their schooling, and everything that they do, that it'll be an honor to be around them, that they are the future of this church. They are the future of this community. They're the future of this United States of America. And we just speak blessings over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God is awesome. My name's Bo. If you didn't read the bulletin or whatever they get out, praise God. This is my beautiful wife, Kathy. And our ministry is called Morning Star Outfitters, outfitting people for Jesus. And the Lord gave it to Kathy that an outfitter takes people to places they've never been and equips them with everything they need to get there. And that's kind of what we've been about. We, for a lot of years, we owned a ranch in northern Nevada, and we had several cowboy churches that we went to once a month, a circuit that we did for, oh, better than 20 years. But the Lord has given us a new assignment, and that assignment is to travel around to the churches to bring them to another level. How many of you know that we're in the end of the end days? Amen. And each and every one of you was put here on this earth for a purpose, for this time. He didn't choose Moses to be here. He chose you. And there's a reason for that. And it's time the church steps up. Amen? Amen. Is that true? Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. You know, in Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the church. Without Acts chapter 2, there wouldn't be a church. Amen? I'd like to start reading in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Everybody say upon.
Upon.
Sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, this, a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit is something spooky. Amen. A lot of churches, they have a dove outside the door and stuff, but you can go inside and never hear anything about the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, all you have is a social club. Amen? Amen. And the Holy Spirit is not something spooky. In fact, it couldn't be any further from the truth. It says, on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it'd be good to know who the Holy Spirit is, isn't it? Let's turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. I'd like to build on some things here. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So the Holy Spirit isn't some spooky thing. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead. Amen? In Acts chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there. Now, we all know these verses because this is about Ananias and Sapphira, but I want to bring something else out here in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. It says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. See, these verses very plainly said that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is God. And that's the one that lives and dwells on the inside of us. We call that being born again, right? Turn with me to John chapter 3. I'd like to work through some of these things to, if nothing else, have a greater understanding of some of it. Because sometimes we get tangled up in church language and don't really understand what it is all about. Amen? And in John chapter 3, we're talking about Nicodemus here. In verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he's talking about being born again, isn't it? Or born of the Spirit, or born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, you can look at me, and if you met me on the street, you wouldn't know whether I was born again or not. Is that right? Because you can't tell if I'm born again by looking at me. There is nothing that changes on the outside of us when we're born again. It says that we become a new creature. In other words, our spirit man is born again, becomes brand new, born from above. But that's on the inside. If you're bald-headed when you ask Jesus into your heart, you're bald-headed when you get done. Amen? In other words, there's nothing on the outside that changes. It says that the wind blows where it wishes, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. You know, we always say, well, the wind's blowing outside. But it isn't because you saw the wind. It's because you saw the effects of the wind. Amen. In other words, you see the trees wiggling. You see the grass moving. You see the leaves rustling. And we say that the wind's blowing. But we don't see the wind. And it's the same with somebody that's born again. You can't see anything different about them, but you can see the effects of their lives. Amen? Because, praise God, When we're born again, we become a brand new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become brand new. I thought, sure, my wife would say amen. Maybe dance around a little bit. And praise God, I'm not the old man I was. I can tell you that I haven't backed up one step from that moment when I accepted him as Lord and Savior and asked him into my heart. But that is called born again, or born from above. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For as the body is one, has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. So, who is the baptizer in this place that we just read? Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized. Is that right? So, the Holy Spirit is the baptizer. So, what were we baptized into? We're baptized into the body of Christ, into Jesus. So it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us, or the Holy Spirit that comes within us, which we call born again. Amen? Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. I really felt led to do this, even though it's not much preaching, more of a Bible study. But in Luke chapter 3, in verse 16, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now that's powerful, isn't it? So who's the baptizer in this situation? Jesus. And he's going to baptize us with what? He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Other scriptures say the Holy Spirit and power. Amen? So there's two different things here, isn't there? The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. In other words, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become what we call born again. Amen? And the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells on the inside of us. But what they're talking about here is a different, because Jesus is coming, and he's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's just look at this for a bit. In Matthew chapter 1, let's look at Jesus to begin with. In Matthew chapter 1, I'd like to start reading in verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, right? If you wanted to use church language, we could say Jesus was born again. because he was for all time, right? So when he come here on the earth, he was born again, anew. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Now this is John the Baptist was baptizing in the river and Jesus came. And I'd like to pick up in verse 16. It says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Everybody say upon. So Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, what's interesting is up until this time, Jesus is about 33 years old here. Jesus didn't do any ministry. Jesus didn't do any miracles. Amen. When did Jesus' ministry start? After this. After he was baptized, or the Holy Spirit came upon him. Amen. And we'll learn more about that later, because it mentions that God anointed him, right, with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. So from this day forward, Jesus' ministry started. Amen. So let's look at the disciples. Let's turn to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, I'd like to read verses 21 and 22. Now this is after Jesus has rose from the dead, right? And they're all assembled in a room, and Jesus walks through the wall into that room, right? We know the story. So in verse 20 it says, when he had said these things, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So you could say, in church language, the disciples were born again. The Holy Spirit came in them. So let's turn back to Acts chapter 1. Right? We started over here. I hate to be the last one to find these scriptures. Acts 1. There we go. I'd like to read in Acts chapter 1, because Jesus' ministry didn't start till he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and power. Is that right? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We just read that, didn't we? Jesus walked into the room where they were at. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So even though the apostles were born again, he told them to wait. In other words, don't go out preaching. Don't go start you a church. Wait. Is that right? For the promise of the Father. Is it okay to take a rabbit trail here? Hold your finger here and let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. This is what he was talking about here. In verse 49, it says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon." Everybody say upon. My Father, promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. So was the promise of the Father within or upon?
Upon.
And it was to endue them with power. Is that right?
Yes.
Let's go back to Acts 1 and finish reading here. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now," which we know because we have the book that over here in chapter 2, verse 1, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and power, weren't they? And spoke with other tongues. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon." Everybody say upon.
Upon.
"Come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus is telling them, don't run off. I know you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's within you, right? But don't leave or try to do anything on your own. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he says he would endue them with power from on high. It would come upon them. Amen? So it's talking about going to the ends of the earth in Samaria here. Let's take a peek at the Samaritans. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 5. It says, "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." So we're talking about the Samaritans, right? So let's skip to verse 14. Excuse me. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." So these Samaritans were born again, right? "For as yet it had fallen upon none of them. He had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit." Now this is one place in the Word that doesn't specifically say that they spoke in tongues. But everywhere else in here, it talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit coming upon you with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Okay? But here, if we follow that next verse there, says that when Simon saw, now what did he see? Probably the same thing that happened to everybody else that was baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? They spoke in other tongues. And you'll notice that the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. In other words, yielding yourself to that. I know that there's people that say, "Well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't speak in tongues." No, that's a lie, because the Word doesn't say anything about that. Amen or oh me. I wish I could get a picture of your faces right now. What that is you're not yielding. In other words, your pride will not allow you to speak in other tongues because you're afraid what somebody's going to think of you. Amen? You don't like that, so I'll go on. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. You okay?
Yes.
Everybody still with me?
Yes.
In Acts chapter 19, I'd like to start reading in verse 1. Now we're talking about Corinth. Do we have a book written to the Corinthians? There's a lot about speaking in tongues there, isn't there? How about Ephesians? Do we have a book of Ephesians?
Yes.
Yeah. In verse 1 it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some apostles, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.'" So are they born again?
Yes,
yes they are. "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon," everybody say upon, "came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Amen. Amen? So you could say it like this, that the book written to the Ephesians was written to tongue-talking people.
Amen.
The book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, was written to tongue-talking people. Is that right? Acts chapter 10. Let's turn back there. In Acts chapter 10, I'd like to start reading in verse 44. It says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon," everybody say upon, "fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision," in other words, those who had a covenant, right, "believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have?'" What he's talking about is those who did not have a covenant with God. In other words, they call them Gentiles. That's us. We were here on this earth without a covenant with God. But Jesus made a way for us, praise God. In other words, we're not part of Jew. We're not part of Israel, which they had a covenant with God. And that's what it's talking about here. So he made a way for us to receive the Holy Spirit, to be born again and be filled with the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's turn over there. Now, there's so much in here in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14 and everything about the gifts of the Spirit and deal. But I just chose this to bring a few things out. Because my life, when I was born again, praise God, there's nothing more special than that. But, you know, I tried to read the Word. I tried to do things, but I just seemed like I wasn't getting anywhere. I was serving God, but it wasn't until I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues that all of a sudden the Word came alive to me. All of a sudden, I couldn't get enough of the Word. The Word all of a sudden made sense. All of a sudden, the Word revelation started coming from the Word of God into my life. So it's a powerful time, isn't it? In verse 14, I'd like to start reading in verse 1. It says, to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Are we to desire spiritual gifts? Most churches run away from it. Amen. We are to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Some versions say that speaks the perfect will of God. In other words, when we're speaking in tongues, in our prayer language tongues, we are speaking directly to God. And the Holy Spirit prays through us in a language that our head does not understand, but it says he prays out mysteries ahead of us. In other words, dangers and things that are ahead of you during the day, during the week, during the month and stuff, you can pray those out ahead, those mysteries. In other words, you're praying the perfect will of God on your life. You know, there's a book written of your life, and the Holy Spirit was there when that book was written. Do you think he knows what your life is supposed to be like? He does, doesn't he? There's no one else that would know. So when we're praying in tongues, we're praying out those mysteries, that perfect will of God for our life ahead of us. In other words, whatever's written on that book, it's praying those things into our life. And you'll notice, the more you pray in the Spirit and stuff, sometimes people you thought were friends all of a sudden will be cut off. Amen. All of a sudden you'll be hooked up with other people. You'll be hooked up with the body of Christ, the believers. It's the Holy Spirit praying through you the perfect will for your life. Amen. Now, what we're talking about is our prayer language, right? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. In other words, builds us up. And Jude, it says, builds us up on our most holy faith. Well, you can't get any better than that, is it, can you? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we're built up on our most holy faith, that's a good position, isn't it? And not only that, the things that we desire, the things that we need in our life, come by faith. Amen? Everybody okay?
Yes.
You still love me?
Yes.
And Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may be edified. You know, I went through Rhema Bible College under Brother Hagin, and I learned about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all those things. But this cowboy read those scriptures and thought, well, if prophecy and tongues and interpretation are the same, why all the hoopla? Just prophesy. Right? Well, I was at a service with Dr. Stewart, and it's called Excelling in the Gifts Conference. And I don't know if you know Pastor Bill McCray. He came up on the stage and stood right here in front of me up on the platform. And he said, when I come out here, he said, there's somebody in here that just said that tongues and interpretation and prophecy is the same. Why all the hoopla? He said, let me explain that if I can. I thought, oh Lord, you know, you can only get, I'm too big to get under the chairs. So he commenced to telling me that when he's praying in the Spirit and God gives him a prophecy for the church, sometimes that's in the night before, or sometime the day before, or when it while he was studying or something, but usually in the night before. So he knows this is important. So he starts mulling that over and over in his mind. So when he does get to church at the proper time to give that prophecy, then it's in line with what God said, right? Well, he says, how many of you know from speaking that over and over all night that there's a little bit of Bill McCray in that? Which we've all had that, speaking something over and over. And he said, that's okay, because prophecy, as long as you get the gist of what God is saying to the church, that's okay. In other words, you can say it in your own language. You can say it the way you want it to speak. Does that make sense? So when we prophesy, it doesn't have to be exact. But when God wants something spoken exactly like he wants it spoken, that is tongues and interpretation. Because when you interpret a tongue, there's no time. It's right now. And God will put those words in your mouth. So they are the same. They're to edify the church or the body of Christ. But they're two different things. What prophecy? Does that make sense? Does that help anybody?
Yes.
See, it does make a difference. So, now, what with the beginning of these verses was talking about was our prayer language, wasn't it? In other words, when we were speaking to God, and that's speaking in tongues, but the other tongues, tongues and interpretation in church, that is God speaking to us. So there's two different things. Does that make sense? One is us speaking to God. The other is God speaking to us. Amen?
Amen?
Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That help anybody?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now remember, it's talking about praying out mysteries ahead of us or the perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to start reading in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many of you wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That is, it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, and I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimonies of God. That word testimonies is the mysteries of God, or God's will. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my speaking were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Where do we get that power? From the Holy Spirit upon us, right? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or this world, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In other words, God's perfect will, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had known they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Those things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How is it that we have the mind of Christ? Through the Holy Spirit within us. Through the Holy Spirit upon us. The gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. The discerning of spirits, right? So do we have the mind of Christ?
Yes.
Yes, we do. But does everybody? No. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. You still with me?
Yes.
Now, this is a verse that everybody is familiar with. In Romans chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How many of you heard that verse quoted before? You know, we need to put that verse in context, because everything does not work to good for those who love God. The air just went out of the room, didn't it? Let's put it in context. Let's back up to verse 26. We don't need to go further back than that. It wouldn't hurt to read the whole chapter. But verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Does that sound like tongues? Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We read about that, didn't we? When we pray in the Spirit, we're praying out the perfect will of God for our lives. It says that we do not know how to pray as we ought. So when you run out of English words to pray, have you ever been in a spot where you wish you knew more scripture, you wish you knew more something to pray about a situation? It's horrible, isn't it? Well, he's given us a prayer language that the Holy Spirit will hook up with us. And the Holy Spirit knows the situation. The Holy Spirit knows exactly how to pray, exactly what the will of God is in that situation. And when you're praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, that turns all things to good to those who love God. Amen? Tongues are important. They're important for the church. They're important for our everyday lives and the gifts of the Spirit, especially in these latter days. Because God has given us an open window. Amen? I think you know what I'm talking about. But it's time the church steps up to another level, because the church has a part to play in this. It's not the president that's going to fix this world. It's the church that is going to fix this world. Amen? But if we don't know how to pray as we ought, what good are we? If we're just praying in our own wisdom and understanding, even for the United States, for our children, for our wives, for this church, for our community, why would we want to limit it to our own knowledge? See, he's given us power from on high for a reason, because he wants each and every one of us baptized with the Holy Spirit and power, that he can speak to each one of us individually with a prayer assignment. When we pray in the Spirit, that he downloads things, the Holy Spirit, to pray through us. That is going to change the world. Amen? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And I'll wind down with this. I bet you heard that before, haven't you? One more point and I'll be through. Like a fat man crawling through a barbed wire fence. One more point. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, I'd like to start reading in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, point to your neighbor and say, you. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if we ask for the Holy Spirit, is he going to give us some kind of a demon spirit? If we ask for the Holy Spirit, would God give us some embarrassing gift? No. If we ask for the Holy Spirit, would he give us some weird or spooky gift? No. He'd give us the third part of the Godhead with power. Amen? It says that we would receive power from on high. And the gifts of the Spirit are for us.
Hallelujah.
How many here are already baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues? Hold your hands up there for a minute. Those of you that didn't hold your hands up, go ahead, leave your hands up a minute. Those of you that didn't stick your hands up, look around the room here at these weird people. Spooky, aren't they? Go ahead, you can put your hands down. If there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you the opportunity right now to receive him. Anybody at all? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to have you bow your head or slip your hands up. The Lord has dealt with me about those things. This is something, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is something you need to do with your eyes wide open. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not easier, it's better. Amen? When I first started ministering, I didn't have an altar call. And I'm not diminishing anybody else's altar call or anything. At Rhema, everybody bow their head and close their eyes and pray. And anybody, just slip your hand in the air so I can see you. And so I started out with that. And boy, every time I'd do that, something on the inside like... And... He said, you can't trick people into heaven. So I went to a rodeo camp, and they do like we do here. Everybody pray this prayer together. And anybody that's prayed this prayer for the very first time, I've got some books and tapes and things I'd like to give to you. Just lift your hands if you prayed this prayer for the first time. And I thought, yeah, that's it. I did that for a few services, and something on the inside, he kept saying, you can't trick people into heaven. This is someplace you need to come, not in the emotions of the moment, but with your eyes wide open, because it's a decision that you have to make every day to follow Jesus and make him Lord of your life. Amen. So is there anybody here that would like to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Anybody at all? So we're all born again, right? Glory to God. It's nice to be in the house full of believers. Amen. But I'd like to go a step farther. Not only the apostles, but everybody I've walked you through where they had the Holy Spirit come with on the inside of them. But there was another experience where the Holy Spirit came upon them with power. And the receiving of that is by speaking in other tongues. Anybody here? Now, fathers, this is an opportunity you don't want to miss as leader of the household. Anybody here that is not baptized in the Holy Spirit but would like to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on down here right now. Come on. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Give these men a hand clap. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Anybody? I'm proud of you guys. Because your life's going to change from this very moment. Your wives, your husbands, your children, people around you are going to see a difference in your life because of that Holy Spirit and empower that's going to come upon your life from this moment on. I can honestly say that my life changed forever. And there has been nothing better than traveling around these last few months with the gifts of the Spirit flowing and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Amen. So is everybody here willing to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Because that's the evidence that you're yielding to that. Amen. Honey, would you come forward? Praise you, Lord. When I lay hands on you, will you receive the Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name. Come on. Just open your mouth and speak. Praise Him. Whatever is bubbling on the inside of here, just give noise to it. Sounds to it. There you go. There you go. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just keep practicing that. Those of you that have your prayer language, just pray. Are you going to receive the Holy Spirit and I lay hands on you? Praise you, Lord. Receive that Spirit now in the name of Jesus. As it bubbles down here, just give words to it. There you go. There you go. Just give sounds to it. Just give sounds to it. There you go. Perfect. Just keep practicing that. You know, the more, sometimes it's only a word. Sometimes it's one or two. That as you practice, when you're in the truck by yourself, when you're riding beside of the cowboys, you don't have to be stupid at roar. You can pray. Can't believe how many miles I've rode beside a crew of cowboys praying in the Spirit. It changes the atmosphere. But you don't have to be. Just practice it. Just keep. The more you work, the more it comes into a language. And pretty quick, you'll start understanding those languages and those things that you're speaking. And you can put words to them. That's called tongues. Will you receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Receive it now in Jesus' name. There you go. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Are you ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When I lay hands on you, you receive and start speaking in tongues. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be filled. As it bubbles in here, just give sounds to it. There you go. Praise you, Lord God. God bless you.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord. Are you ready to receive Absolutely. The baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
With speaking in other tongues.
Absolutely.
In Jesus' name. Receive. In Jesus' name. That power from on high. But John and in the Shishatante Oko. As that bubbles down here, just put a sound to it. As it bubbles, just there it is. Is your wife here?
She's passed.
Okay. She's passed. Okay. Okay. I didn't know, but thank you. But I shanta do do do. Just give words to that. And don't chant in the name. Des chisho do 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 do. Are you ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? And I lay hands on you in Jesus' name. Receive the power from on high. There you go. Just give sounds to it. That's it. That's it.
Praise God.
That's it. Hallelujah. How are you, sir? Praise God. Are you ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking another tongue?
Yes, sir.
Receive now in the name of Jesus that power from on high. But the sign that you've received is that speaking in other tongues. That stirring on the inside, just give a sound to it.
Got it.
Keep practicing that. Keep that stirring up. You got more language than most already. The more you keep that up, it'll turn into a language. And it'll be amazing. And you'll get things in your mind as you're praying in the Spirit. Your head will never understand it. But as you do, give words to it.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what puts power in it. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Receive the Holy Spirit now in the name of Jesus. Give sounds to those things and stir it on there. It's bubbling on the inside. Just give sounds to it. There you go. There you go. Just keep practicing that. That's the evidence that you yield yourself to Him. Because not everybody can do it. There's a lot of men that are too proud to receive. And they go without. Because they won't yield themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power?
Yes, sir.
Father, receive now in Jesus' name. Just give voice to those sounds. There you go. Just praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Guys, your pastor is going to be a proud man when he comes back because he's going to have a whole new congregation here. Amen. God bless you.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you.
Are you ready to receive?
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Receive the. In the name of Jesus, that power that comes upon him with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Boy, that was right there on the surface. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to
receive.
Receive
now in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit, the power, and but a chanta neheke, bohula de danta, shatan de hedu, kavada, minyala da pukra shantante. That's it. Just give sounds to it. Bashara nande de, la do do do, shara donde. That's it. There you go. Just keep after that. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Are you ready to receive with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Hallelujah. Receive now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Could you hear that? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, please let me.
Yes. Receive now in Jesus' name. There you go. That's it. That's it. You'll see a difference.
Well, another thing you have to know, I just became a Christian 5 years ago. I was
praise
raised in the
God.
Church.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm so proud of it, and I love it.
Glory to God.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes. Yes.
Pray about it. Yes. Now you pray in the Spirit.
I will.
And you'll, things will come to pass. Things will come. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. How are you, sir?
Good.
Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's receive that Holy Spirit now in the name of Jesus. Just put sounds to the bubbling. Just open your mouth and put sounds to the words that are bubbling on your inside of you. There you go. Come on. There you go. Just keep with those sounds. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so awesome. I want you to look at these men because they're different. Your pastor is going to be so proud when he comes home. Amen. Rusty.
Oh,
God,
thank
you. God bless
you,
guys.
Thanks, Bo. Thank the Lord. But y'all try to wear the Holy Spirit out this week. There ain't nothing like both. I promise you, all week, man, every chance you get. In fact, don't wait for a chance. Just do it. Just keep praying the Holy Ghost driving down the road. And I found cows I couldn't find. You found cows you couldn't find.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, for all of y'all, I don't know if this is me or God, but there's a few of you out there that wouldn't come up here today that I think maybe sometime this week you're going to be driving down the road or you're going to be a peculiar place and things are going to start coming to your mouth that you didn't never hear before. And that's going to be your prayer language.
Are we too late?
What
can
you
I do
say?
Something else?
Yeah.
Is there spouses
to these that are up here. Come on up here. Why don't you get together? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, the ones that just come up here, do you pray in the Spirit, speaking another tongue? Why don't you pray together? There's nothing. It says where two agree is touching anything that they ask. It is done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. And there's nothing. I can honestly tell you, I spoke in tongues. She was baptized in the Spirit far before I was, that she'd speak in tongues, but we never did do it together. The Holy Spirit stirred on me one day, and I grabbed her hands, and I said, let's pray in the Spirit together. I looked at the verses where two are touching anything. Two are in agreements. And when we prayed in the Spirit, holding hands, it brought our marriage and everything to a complete different level. Amen. There was nothing more powerful than praying together in the Spirit. Praise God. Thank you. Are you done with these guys?
Yeah.
You can be seated. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah.